Last Thursday night, the Troy City Council meeting was a little different from normal.
Officer.
You're aggravating his old house. Shut up!
Throw him out.
Okay. Please. Sergeant at Arms.
Troy City Council meetings are not usually so charged up. Last week, the City Council voted 4-3 to approve the Families and Communities Together Act, the FACT Act. The measure was designed to clarify the purpose and roles of city government regarding enforcement of federal policy on immigration. Council members David Bissember and Anasha Cummings had removed the words sanctuary and city out of the measure, apparently to try to lessen the conflict over that issue. That attempt didn't work. The meeting started about 40 minutes late. The room was packed and overflowing. It might have been slightly different in a larger room, but City Hall is a rental in Troy, New York, so the rooms are limited. People attending the meeting were invited to comment. 3 minutes each. Both sides had a lot to say. After the first person had commented, Council President Montello decided to go in a different direction.
Next, I am going to read a letter at the request of the county exec who could not be here tonight, and he would like
point
the
of
letter.
Order. Point of order.
I'm entering it into the record, and the county executive has asked for it to be read.
Excuse me, he's not
stating
here.
That
people
the
have
county
to sign
exec,
up to speak here.
The county exec can have his reso, his letter read.
Then let him get let him put his name on the list.
The letter
this
will
is
be
all, this
entered.
Is ours.
Councilmember Peratore, okay?
Here is a sampling of some of the public comments, starting with those in favor of the resolution. This is David Banks.
Thank you. So at the risk of sounding heavy-handed, I'm going to quote the Bible. Hebrews 13:2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And Leviticus reminds us that the stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you are aliens in the land of Egypt. I'm Jewish, and I know it's Seder. We leave a door open for the prophet Elijah, and we leave a cup of wine out, and no one drinks it because it is representative of the redemption we have yet to achieve. And even with the sanctuary resolution today, I still don't think Troy is close to drinking from Elijah's cup, so to speak. And I, more than I think most people here, know how hard it was to even get to this point, but I am going to say that it is probably literally the least we could do for the immigrants in our community, and it's sad that even that has been so hard to do. I understand the thinking behind not embracing the word sanctuary. I get it. But when white supremacists are proudly spreading propaganda on our streets. We need to be unequivocal in our support of immigrants, of the stranger. So, I guess I don't understand why, we're sort of acting as if we're not in the moral majority here when clearly we are. But
this is Matt Sekelek.
What I want to talk about is the history of sort of more radical action here in Troy that has been a defiance of the law, the federal law, not necessarily the local law. We're very proud of our heritage here, of places like Underground Railroad sites, of the rescue of Mr. Charles Now, and of things like the Reverend Habermans who built St. Mary's Church, who stood in front of the reactionary mob that happened during the draft in the Civil War, who tried to burn down the black church on Liberty Street. Now, the Underground Railroad was illegal. That's why it had to exist. It was illegal to assist people who were fleeing the horror of slavery. So the side of the law, especially the federal law, is often not on the side of justice. History teaches this. It's obvious if you open a book, right? If you look at Nazi Germany, everything they did was perfectly legal, right? They did it all by the book. They documented it meticulously, right? So sometimes you have to take action, which is in deliberate defiance of an unjust law, and declare it unjust. Now, to do anything less, I believe, is cowardice and often capitulation to the forces of crime and terror and fascism.
This is Juniper, who is a teenager.
Families are being torn apart and you're doing nothing. It's depressing. Nothing is happening to make it feel better. They just feel sad every day. And nobody is doing anything to help them. There are people that kill these people that are innocent, that just want to feel safe, that can't feel safe, because our country is keeping them from doing so. People are pulled over on the street every single day for looking different. I don't see any British people or European people or people that look like they're white people from 80s sitcoms being pulled over to ask if they are members of this country. But people that look Hispanic, that are black, anybody that looks different, people that look like they're from Afghanistan, they're being pulled over every single day in their cars. They're being asked on the streets. They're being asked to the bank in the store where they're supposed to be feeling comfortable. If they're American citizens, is that fair? I don't think so.
Those in favor largely focused on the moral call to help people in need. The images of children in cages were never far away. Those opposed to the resolution took a different tone, mostly based on fear and anger. This is Michael Laporto.
Before there was a law made by a great people in Washington, we want to make a resolution. For what? It's not worth the ink you put on a paper line. It's not worth nothing. It's worthless. Number one. Number two, why do you want to know? And want to know the people out there that we become a rap city, just like in old Western. People used to go to the place, was no law. No ICE, abolish ICE, abolish police. Who the hell is gonna watch you? God? Is God gonna send the lightning to you? Do you know how many people come in to the border? We don't know who they are. Who are they? As a Middle Eastern, that is terrorist, that is African, as Asian, it's from anywhere. We don't know who they are. From Africa, they come to Mexico. I'm sorry, they can come through Africa. That's fine. We welcome here. Okay. We welcome everybody in this country. This flag was for the freedom.
This is Steve Germiani.
The bigger issue is that it's not just the fact that they're here, it's how they affect everybody around. Most of the guys that I worked with were great people. They were literally just in search of a better life. And they had a bunch of them had American-born kids. Their kids were first-generation Americans. But we need to look at the bigger picture as to how this affects everybody around us. And I honestly, with all the problems in this city, from the garbage to the crime to potholes, to everything that affects the everyday citizen here in Troy, we've got bigger issues.
And that's Steve, specifically, if you could start wrapping it.
Yes,
thank you.
That's specifically aimed at both of you two for even bringing this up. Okay. Literally my second council meeting I had to listen to an Orange Man Bad rant, and you ran on about sanctuary cities. You've got bigger issues in this city than illegal immigration.
Thank you, Steve.
Can I say one thing in closing?
Very quick.
If you really want to draw the ire of the federal government, including this current sitting president, go ahead and pass this resolution. I guarantee you, you will not like the end result. I promise you. Leave these people alone, let them live their lives, and let them fly under the radar. If you piss off the federal government, ICE is going to be in here and they're going to be coming hard, regardless of what Sheriff Rousseau does. The 287G program in itself only checks people that are already in jail for another crime, or in the process of committing a crime. I am a former Texas correctional officer on top of that. I worked in a facility that participated in the 287G program, okay? The people that were caught up in that program are bad people.
Stephen, thank you. Thank you very much.
After the last comment by the public, the focus shifted back to the council, and the conflict started again.
What I'm saying, folks, is that there is no resolution 113. Just please hear me out. Per Robert's rules, it had to have been voted on table at that meeting or January. There is no resolution 113.
Council President,
let me
just
please,
in line.
I do want also, I recommended last week when I saw the amendments and the council stating that they plan to untable the resolution.
The current council president, now running for re-election, Carmela Montello, who is a Republican, argued that the bill was illegal because it violated Robert's Rules of Order. This was essentially a parliamentary tactic and wasn't well received by the opposition, so they overruled her. Within 24 hours, Mayor Madden vetoed the measure. Does this end here? No. At the council meeting, Council President Montello announced a proposed ballot measure. She wants the voters to decide this issue, so there will be three hearings over the next few weeks to determine whether it will be on the November ballot. It's important to note that the measure that the council approved last week was three pages of nuanced writing that essentially calls for each city department to just do its job and not seek to become an extension of ICE or the federal government as far as enforcement of immigration policy, except as mandated by law or issues of public safety. Whether a supposed ballot measure will also be so nuanced, or just an inflammatory tool meant to drum up votes for the Republican candidates, remains to be seen. I'm Dave Pablo for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.